children. Oh, no, the children. Children can come out if they so wish. Just before we go, I know June's disappeared. I think she's probably gone to sort the coffee out for everyone. But I just felt it was time to thank Jeff and June particularly, you know, over the years, and particularly over this last year. You know, it cannot be easy being responsible for leading a church. And I know I'm not easy to deal with, but these guys have just blessed us so much. They were chosen to lead the church, they planted the church, and they've led it. And we just want to say, particularly to June and Jeff, you know, we just love you so much, and we're just so grateful for everything that you do, because the things, a lot of the things that these guys do are just not seen. You can see when we put the chairs out, you can see when we stand there and sing, but a lot of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, a lot of the concerns, a lot of the worries. We might worry about one or two people, but these guys, you know, I've got the responsibility for each and every one of us. So I just want to say we thank God this morning for you two. And we just ask that everything you put your hand to is just so blessed. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you. But I think we're the ones who are blessed to have you guys, every one of you. And, you know, we've, over the years, we've all been through all kinds of things together. Amen? But you know, God has been so good to each of us. And I really want to say, you know, I could say from June and myself, and also our two gorgeous daughters, Laura and Amy, who are, you know, they kind of helped to carry everything. You know, when a couple lead a church, the kids sometimes feel some of the pressures and everything else of what's going on. And I was just talking to someone last night, a visitor, and he was asking about the church. And I said, you know, we are so blessed. We've got fantastic people in this church. And we really, I tell you, every day we thank God for each of you. June, am I right? For your support and for the wonderful blessing that each of you are. The different stages that you've been with us, some more recently, and some who are not here today. And some of you, you know, like Mary and different ones that from a long time, and Sarah and, you know, yeah, Valerie and Sherry. And, well, all of, most of you really who are here today, I'd have to go through each one. And yeah, we just want to thank you for making, some churches are not easy to lead. You know, you can, some, I always say some churches to lead a church can be, and some of you have been in ministry might know this or been in other churches, sometimes lead a church can be a pleasure, sometimes be a pressure, depending on the mix of people. But it's always, it's just a pleasure to lead you guys, and we're just so blessed to have such fantastic people. So thank you so much, each of you. Those who've been here for a long time, those who've come recently, for being such a blessing to us and our whole family. And we're so thankful to God. Every day we thank God for each of you. And it's our, just our desire is to see each of you just blessed and experience everything that Jesus died to give you. We just want to, you know, share the word of God through teaching and preaching and praying and everything else that we do, just to help you guys have the life that God really wants you to have. We want to see you succeed in every area. And also for the children, we want to see every child succeed and just become everything God wants them to be. We want to see them blessed, you know. And we look at, even looking out now at Aisha over here, you know, so small as she is, but she's got a whole life ahead of her. We want all of our kids blessed and to do well in life. And we know different ones at times have experienced setbacks with different things as life throws, can throw some things at us. But in it all, you know, we've all become stronger and we're pressing forward in God. Amen? Amen. Now, I know I'm not very tall, but I'm just going to move this up a little bit. I know I'm short, but I'm not this short, so bear with me. So thank you so much for being a blessing. Okay. I just want to pray before we move into this. I want to pray for Keith. Jan's there. She was, you know, one of the things, this is the only church I've ever been in where people change their seats. And I remember when Kingsley preached here, and he preached from the front, and he said, we get stuck in the same thing. He said, even the same seats. And I nearly put my hand up and said, not this church. I can never find anybody. I go to where they sometimes sit, and I find they're sitting somewhere else. But thank God we're not a church that we haven't got our names on our seats. I see you all move quite easily. So, yeah, we want to pray for Keith right now, who isn't very well. He's been having a shoulder problem for a long time, and he's trying to get this whole thing sorted. We also want to keep praying for Gavin. As you know, his mum had an accident. He's in Glasgow, and he's got his family here. He's trying to look after his mother, who's in hospital there with a dad who's suffering the results of a previous stroke. So let's pray for them right now. Father, we just want to pray for Keith. Just touch him right now, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray that you'd quicken up the process for him within the NHS, Lord, as he needs to have all of these, an operation or x-rays or whatever it is he needs next. I just really pray, God, that somehow you'd just be able to quicken up that process for him. Even better still, though, just if you can heal him supernaturally, that would be wonderful. But whichever way you choose to do it, God, but just move on, Keith, because, you know, it must just be wearing him down, Father. And also for Gavin, keep Gavin strong. Continue to work in his mum's life, bringing progress into her life as from this accident. Lord, just continue to bring healing. Give Gavin wisdom and grace to be able to cope with the family here and his parents there. And we also pray traveling mercies on Winnie as he's flying out to India right now. Keep your hand upon him as he travels, and just let him have a blessed time while he's out there with his family, and come back refreshed. And just bless everybody today as we go into your word, Father. Just bless us and help us to learn new principles that will move us into life and set us free in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, so we began to do a series a while back, as you know, on how to fail forward. How to fail forward. Not backwards. We saw there are two kinds of people. Those who fail backwards, those who fail forwards. When things happen in life, when we make mistakes, we fail at things, and I suppose anybody could look back and have regrets about certain things that have happened in their lives, maybe certain decisions that weren't the right decisions, that led to areas of failure or whatever in life. And we can either allow the failures of life, the mistakes, the things that went wrong, to hold us down, to cause us to live in fear, so that we don't break out and move forward to move into the new things, you know, that God has for us in life. Or we can take all of those things. Failure doesn't have to be an enemy. It can be a friend that can move us forward. And these are some of the things that we looked at just recently. And, you know, we saw that, you know, sometimes in life we get knocked down, but we don't have to get knocked out. We can go forward. And failure is a part of progress. You're not a failure just because you failed. It can be a friend. We can learn from it. It's never final. And our attitude determines our defeat or our victory. Amen? And like I said earlier, the reason why we teach these things, because I know June's heart and passion and my heart and passion for you guys is to just to encourage. And, you know, last week, Sunday evening, we went down to Sheffield and I spoke at Barry's church, who was here. And, you know, I prayed and said, well, God, what can I say to these people? You know, when you've been ministering God's word, you know, for 40 years, and you're preaching it and teaching it, whatever, you have so much information on the inside that you think, what on earth can you pull out to give somebody? I'm sure, Dave, you might experience that because you've got so much knowledge in certain areas. When you go somewhere, you're thinking, well, what should I teach on this? Should I teach on that? Should I speak on this? Should I speak on that? So you kind of pray, but, you know, every time, and like last week, I prayed, said, God, we're going into this church with these people. I've got 30 minutes. Once a year, I usually go there. What can I say in 30 minutes? And I felt the Holy Spirit said, Jeff, just encourage them. encourage them. And I just spent 30 minutes, and it was great to have June and Laura and Amy with me there too. And just to encourage people, and our heart is to encourage people because, you know, outside of this building, life can be tough sometimes. How many of you found that out? I don't want to preach a negative sermon, but boy, I tell you, you can encounter some difficulties and unexpected things. And there are times that life, I've not been negative, I've been positive. Life is wonderful, but it does throw some things at you where there's pressure that can create stress, it brings responsibility, so many other things. Can you remember when you were kids, you didn't have to worry about a thing? Remember you didn't have to worry about the mortgage or the rent. You went home, you never even thought, will there be food on the table tonight? It was always there. You didn't have to think, will I have enough money to buy clothes? They were always provided. You didn't have to think about a thing. Then you grew up, left home, got married, had kids, and the rest is history. But you know, in the midst of all of that, so things come at us, but in the midst of that, we need to be encouraged because life is worth living, and Jesus wants to give us an abundant life. And you know, when we know God in a real way, we can kind of move forward in Him. And that's a verse that we looked at from Exodus. Let's look at that verse where the children of Israel were preaching out of that on this, how to fill forward. And it says in Exodus that there were the children of Israel. Remember, the Red Sea in front of them, they couldn't go forward. Army was behind them, was going to wipe them out. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Okay, whatever happens, be committed to go forward. And if you are committed to go forward, you will find a way. It might take a while to find it. Sometimes God might part the sea supernaturally. Sometimes He might provide a boat. But if He provides a boat, don't expect Him to part the sea. It's like the story of the guy, was it, with the helicopter? You've all heard that. When there was a flood, you remember? Have I told it before? Probably about 50 times. Okay, I'll say it again. Jan wants to hear it again. You know the story of the guy with the flood, right? There was a flood. He got up on his roof. I can't remember the whole story. So it was something like there was a flood and he was on the roof and he prayed, God save me, I'm going to die. So some people came along in a boat and they said, get in the boat. And he said, no, I'm praying God's going to rescue me. And he prayed again and then a helicopter came to rescue him. He said, no. And then what was the other one, George? I'll tell you what, there was another boat. There was another boat. Another boat came along. And they said, get in the boat. No, I'm waiting for God. And the water got higher and higher and higher. And the guy drowned. He got to heaven and said, God, I prayed you'd rescue me. God said, well, I sent two boats and a helicopter. So sometimes we pray, but God wants us to have wisdom to move forward. So He might not part the water, but He'll show you another way. So we need to figure out the way. But whatever it is, you might have to build a bridge over the water. You may have to go around the water. It's like that one guy said, you know, whatever happens to you, you always succeed. You always move forward and you succeed. How do you do it? He said, well, if I can't go through it, I'll go around it. If I can't go around it, I'll go underneath it. If I can't get underneath it, I'll climb over it. Well, I'll find a way. And to go forward in life, sometimes you've just got to find a way. And there's always a way. And Jesus said, I am the way. So when you follow Him, because He's the way, He'll provide a way, and you're going to find a way forward. It doesn't matter what happens, and we can learn from whatever happens and become stronger through it. Amen? But I want to speak today on 10 reasons why people fail. Okay, very practical, but biblical reasons. I know last time I said I was going to speak on 9 reasons. I've thought of one more, but I'll stop there because you can think of 100 reasons. So the best way not to have regrets on things we've done where we failed or made mistakes is this. Don't fail and make mistakes. You know, we did this series recently in the groups with Andy Stanley, Your Move. Okay, fourth thing. Oh no, guardrails. That was the one, guardrails. We did 6 sessions. And you know, when you're like on a motorway or whatever, or you're driving around a cliff edge or some place where it's dangerous, there's a rail at the side of the road, which is a protective rail. So if your car gets out of control, it'll hit the rail, won't go over the top. Guardrails are there to protect us. So part of the protection is to work with God and walk with God to enable Him to help us make the right decisions so that we don't have future regrets. Okay, now saying that, we'll always blow it because we're humans. But what we have to do is learn to minimize our mistakes and minimize our failures. Okay, so I want to teach some things, and hopefully we might get through all 9 this morning, but we may not, but let's see. But I feel to stay in this because I think there's some helpful things in this. The first thing I want to say is this. I think one of the first things we need to do on minimizing or restricting failure and mistakes in our lives, and remember, it's not all up to God. It's up to us. Deuteronomy 28 says, if you walk in obedience to me, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. So that obedience, it doesn't mean focusing on the things that just that we shouldn't do, but the things we should do to bring the blessing of God into our lives. God will do what He's promised to do, but we got to do what He expects us to do. And we can create blessing or curses in our lives. It's up to us to walk with God. And I believe the number one thing we have to do to minimize failure, to succeed in life at whatever God's calling us to do, is first of all to make sure that we're doing God's will. Amen? God's will. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So really, to not follow God's will, the Bible says it's foolish. And the opposite word to being foolish is to be wise. And it's interesting, in the Old Testament, one of the main words used for success or prosperity in the Old Testament, it's a Hebrew word, solak, which also is translated as to deal wisely. So those two, you can't separate them. So if we deal wisely in life, you know, we will prosper, we will succeed at whatever God's called us to do. And that's the definition of success, isn't it, for Christians? To succeed at reaching whatever God is calling us to reach or to be in life. So we need to find God's will. I believe in the world, you can be successful. People are not even following God. People are atheists, and they're successful at what they do. But, you know, I believe as believers, we need to follow God's will. You know, sometimes you can have success out of God. You can climb the corporate ladder only to find when you get to the top, it's on the wrong wall. We need to know the will of God. And not only do we need to pray over every decision that we make, see if it aligns with God's word, with what the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. This is one of the main ways we find God. We have that intuitive, the intuition of God within us. I think that's one of the key things we need to follow. The Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That means we get in a witness, or in language everybody understand, a gut feeling. Have you ever had a gut feeling about something? Even though your head said, go for it, this is a good deal. But you had a gut feeling, there's just something not right. And you followed that, and later you found out that's true. You need to follow that. Every decision, whatever it is, you know, most of us here have bought houses, right? For ourselves to live in. And you know, probably, maybe when you're searching for a house, you've gone to different houses, and it's like, could have been a nice house, beautiful house. But you just thought, no, no, no. Then you went into one house, and it was like, this is it. Just felt right. This is the place. That's because of the inner witness of God's Spirit. But another way I believe we find God's will, obviously we have to follow this conscience. We need to follow conscience and do what is right. But another way to find the will of God for what God wants you to do is to look at who you are as an individual. You know, I believe at the point of conception, God wired you with a unique personality that would equip you for his destiny. A unique personality that equipped you for his destiny. You've got certain gifts, abilities, personality traits that have equipped you for what God wants you to do. And within all of that, there'll be desires within you to do certain things that will come out of that personality, or there'll be things that you will enjoy doing. And I believe that's one of the main ways we find out God's will. And I think people will always succeed if they do what they're geared for and gifted for, and to do what they enjoy doing. So find your passion. And when you find your passion, you'll find the will of God. You know, in Romans chapter 12, where it talks about the different gifts, there are seven different gifts that are mentioned there. You know, leadership, mercy, giving, encouragement, prophecy, different gifts that are mentioned. But it says in that whole, in context of all of that, it says, let each person think soberly about themselves. So it's like, you don't have to wait, so God, where is my gift? It's like what flows out of you, you know? If there's leadership, mercy, giving, encouragement, prophetic, whatever it is, you know, it's just by understanding and knowing ourselves, we can find the will of God, because God has put everything inside of you, your personality, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, the things that you like, the things you don't like, the things you like to do, the things you don't like to do. You know, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, or, you know, are you good at administration, or are you like me, you're lousy at it, for instance, in our house. You know, Mark and Sarah said this morning, because they want to come to use you guys as an example. Sarah said for the meal next week, can I give the money to you? I said, don't give the money to me. Give it to my wife. And June is such a good administrator, whereas I'm organized on a wider scale. You know, I can look at something bigger and say, this is what we need to do. But June's fantastic at administrative stuff. And if you need an administrator, don't employ me. If I'm looking for a job and I come for an interview, right? I'll tell you right now, I love you too much to encourage you to employ me. But then there are other things that I'm good at. And we're all good at something. And I think people make a mistake of trying to be like somebody else. Oh, I wish I was as good as them at that. They're better than me at doing that. I'm a hopeless person. Well, you're better at something than them. You know, we're all gifted and we're all needed. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, we're all needed and we all have little areas that we have to fill. So we've got to find our little piece where we fit in the jigsaw puzzle. And there's frustration and unhappiness and aggravation comes when you're trying to get into a place that you don't fit. If you've ever done a jigsaw puzzle and you try to force a piece, maybe you've done this, I remember as a kid, sometimes with jigsaw puzzles, and there's a piece, looks like it'll fit. When you push it, you can kind of damage the little piece, if it's cardboard, a little bit. And you know, it'll just damage your life if you try to be something that you're not. So, number one way not to fail, to succeed in what God has for us, is to understand who you are and celebrate who you are. A lot of people spend their lives trying to be something else to gain approval or to be accepted or try and be noticed or whatever, but just celebrate yourself. A lot of times people are down on themselves. They have no self-worth, no self-value. I can't do anything. I'm no good. Every person here is amazing at something. And we've seen you guys all in operation. I've heard some of you say, well, I can't do that. But you do something else. That's amazing. And if we all did the same thing, you know, the Bible says the body is different members. You know, you've got the eye, the nose, the mouth. Somebody's a mouth, somebody's ears, somebody's hands, somebody's feet. You know, the whole body. We can't all just be like one big nose bouncing down the street. You know, boing, boing, here comes the nose. It'd be great. You'd be able to smell everything, but you know, we need everything. And every part of the body's got to be in the right place. It'd be weird if it wasn't. If your nose was on the end of your elbow every time it went like that, you wouldn't be able to breathe, right? Except I guess you could use your mouth. But everything's got to be in the right place, doing the right thing, and that's fine. And when everybody's not in the right place, you know, and everybody's in the wrong place trying to do something else, it's a mess. I worked with an organization one time, and they were big on, God has to teach you something. So when the people came to join this organization, they found out what the people enjoyed doing and gave them the opposite thing to do. The thing just didn't work. And I thought, this is not going to work. You know, find out what's your passion, what you enjoy doing in life, and set your goals towards those things. Sometimes we have to do things in life we don't have a passion for, we don't like doing it, especially starting out in a career. Sometimes we're in jobs that you just have to do it because the bills have to be paid. That's okay. But set your goal, you know, to become the person God wants you to be and to flow in your gifts, your abilities, and as much as you can, do what you enjoy doing. Make the changes. But it doesn't always happen overnight. It can take time. It can take years. And I say that to a lot of young people here starting out when they say, I've got this job and I don't like it. I say, well, it's temporary. Everything's temporary, okay? Everything is temporary. It can be changed in time. Sometimes it's a short time, sometimes it's a long time. But, you know, we just got to set our eyes on the goal and develop our lives as God wants them to develop. Okay, I didn't think I was going to get through them, but we won't. But that's the first thing. The second reason I think why people often fail in life is because of poor people skills. This is a big one. Poor people skills. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. In fact, in Romans 12, let's just look at a few verses. Romans 12, 18, it says here, if it's possible, as far as it depends on, okay, turn to somebody and say, it's talking about you. It's talking about you. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with, oh my goodness, even those we don't like, even that nasty neighbor, even that work colleague. Okay? If it's possible, You know, sometimes it's not possible because you might want peace, but somebody else doesn't want peace. That's okay. You just make the peace. You make the peace, you know. If it's possible, good advice. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you. So, well, they don't want to make peace with me. Well, that's okay. We'll just try and make peace with them. If they don't want it, that's fine. But I'll do the part that depends on me. I'll do what I can do. Live at peace with everyone. So as much as possible, God wants us to be peacemakers in life. Let's look at another couple of verses. Romans 14 and verse 19. And it says in Romans 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore... Well, let's look at Hebrews 12:14 because we're there, and then we'll go back. Make every effort to live in peace. Make every effort. Well, they don't want peace. Well, I don't feel like making peace. Sometimes to make peace is an effort. Effort involves work. And some people are hard work. Have you found that out? Boy, making peace with some people, it can be hard work. Because some people just like fighting all the time. Fight through life. I remember we had one guy here years ago, and he said, fight. I'm tired of fighting people. So I said, well, stop fighting. Because actually he was the one who was doing all the fighting. I said, then stop fighting. Chill out and enjoy your life. Surely you're at an age now where you should have peace and enjoy life. But, you know, he was always getting irritated with this and outspoken about that. And it says in Romans 14:19, let us therefore make every effort again to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. That means to build one another up and to encourage one another. And you know, we need to do, if my words are going to create disunity and strife, then I need to say nothing. You know, some people, and we've had them here times in the past, and you see them in life, very outspoken, they've got an opinion on everything. Well, I'm just going to speak my mind. And they think it's a strength to be outspoken and speak their mind. But actually, the Bible doesn't call it the strength. It actually says in Proverbs, a fool opens wide his mouth. The strength is being able to control what we say. And you know, if we want to go through life with no tact, upsetting everybody, poor people's skills, causing problems, it's just going to backfire on us. We just won't have any friends. And I don't consider myself a weak person, but the Bible says speak the truth in love. So I hold my peace. The peace and unity, even in a church, is the most important thing. So I'm going to be careful. Even some things that are said in jest, like fun things that are said, it can destroy people, it can upset them. You know, sometimes people make fun of others. Oh, here comes so-and-so, ha, ha, ha. You know, whatever, make some little remark in a jest, but I've seen their faces and they look hurt. So we've got to be careful with what we say. But the things we should say should lead to mutual edification. Let's build each other up. There's enough tearing down in the world. Let's build each other up. What do you say, amen? Let's be a church that honors God, honors people, and builds one another up. Let's not just go through, you know, tearing things down with our mouths and making fun of people, but let's encourage one another. Obviously, at times you've got to confront, you've got to speak the truth, but wait for the right time and choose your battle. Sometimes the battle doesn't have to be fought. Just say nothing. Put it in God's hands. Let God fight the battle for you. Don't wear out your life energy by fighting with everybody all the time. Let things go. Learn to let things go. It's not easy. Dependent. I said earlier, personalities are different personalities. You've got choleric people who are like aggressive achievers. They're the hardest to let things go. And they'll push through and fight for everything. Well, you know, you've got somebody who's more phlegmatic, they're easy going. It's easy for phlegmatic people to let things go. But if you're a choleric, and a lot of our church, people are cholerics, let me tell you. They're strong-willed, achieving, go-getters. And when we're like that, we want to push through. But, you know, we've got to learn to handle our personality. Amen? Everybody said amen. Okay, let's get through at least five, because we're going to come through. So, to succeed, God's will, have good people skills. Nobody will employ somebody if they don't work well with others and they're not a team fit. Am I right? Those of you who have businesses, if somebody came in and they were like, and Laura works for a recruiting agency now, and somebody came in for an interview, you know, Why are you interested in this job?
I don't know.
We've got to be able to deal with people. If you want something, go get it and do what you have to do. Dress the right way, act the right way, but be a people person and have good people skills. That'd be the first thing I'd look for. And if the person didn't have good people skills, I think they're going to cause havoc in my company. You know, if they're outspoken or they're this or they're that or they're whatever. So, you know, we need to have good people skills. And we need to ask God to help us and to love people and to go for it. Okay, third thing is a negative attitude. And you'll never succeed at anything with a negative attitude. Negative things will happen, but your attitude will determine whether they knock you down or whether you move forward. Don't have a negative attitude. And you can, some people might think, well, my personality is like that. I was born with a negative attitude. You can change it. Because the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the Bible says you can change the way you think. You maybe just believed you couldn't, so you've been locked in a prison of negative thinking. You can change it. Change, 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 change. Get it filled with God's Word. Focus on the positive promises. Focus on what you can do. You know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It may take time. Don't live by your feelings. You may not feel like you're doing well. You may not feel like you're going to make it. You may not feel like you can be the person God wants you to be. You take authority over your feelings. You begin to think it, and your thoughts will affect your feelings, positive or negative. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Change, change, change. Deal with negative situations with a positive attitude. And anybody who wants to succeed in life or achieve anything, you will face negative situations. Things will come against you. There'll be obstacles, stumbling blocks. Things will go wrong. Things will get in your way. Things that you want to happen may not happen. But if with a positive attitude, you'll press through and move forward in God and in life. Amen? Okay, come on, two more, because we want to try and bring this to a close. Fourth thing, reason why people fail, lack of focus. You know, anything that's worth getting in life, we need to focus on that one thing. We've all heard the expression, it's better to do one thing well than being a jack of all trades, and do bits of everything. You know, in life, decide what you want your life to be, focus on that and go for it. Don't get distracted by a million other things that don't contribute towards your goal and what God has for you. Amen? Set it. This is my goal for my life, my family. This is what God has for me. This is what's going to happen in the next season. And keep focusing on that and do everything you can to make it happen. Amen? Everything you can to make it happen. Obviously, there's other things we have to do. But if you get sidetracked with all these other things that God hasn't called us to, or that's pulling away from us, or it's taking the energy out of us so that we can't focus on what we really want to see happen, then we're not going to be able to do it. So keep focused and keep a vision. And then the fifth thing, reason why people fail, and I'm going to finish with this one, is a weak commitment. Anything worth fighting for, if it has any value in life, commit to it. Okay, a marriage. We all want a successful marriage. That's why I'm using this word success. It's not a bad word, it's a good word. A successful marriage. You've got to commit to it, work at it, and make it happen. Am I right? Two people living together in one house. It was all right when you were dating or whatever, but now you're living together, and it's all been wonderful, but now the bills are coming in, and now the kids cost more money than you thought they would, and they're waking up at night and squawking and screaming and being sick and everything else. You know, you've got to work, work, work. So have a strong commitment to whatever. Church life, following Jesus, doing what he's called us to do. If it's building a ministry, doing something in the secular world, whatever it is, we need to have a strong commitment. Let's look at a couple of more verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. And I love this. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Now listen to this. For in the realm of the dead, don't want to discourage you, where you are going, and me, one day, but not yet, hallelujah, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. In other words, one day, we're all going to die. Trust Jesus, we're going to heaven, spend eternity with him. So our time here is short. In other words, what this verse says, life is short, So whatever you're going to do now, go for it with all your might. Live with all your might. You know, we came to this, the thing we had last night with that Bollywood Kaylian. And I said, John, I'm going to dance tonight. Why? Because I'm going to do it with all my might. I'm going to enjoy myself. If you're going to enjoy yourself, go for it. You know, if it's biblical and godly, go for it. Every day, say, whatever I've got to do, I'm going to commit to it. It's not going to be a weak commitment. If, when there's a weak commitment, you won't build it. Some of you have set up businesses here. You've had different things that you've had to do. If there's a weak commitment, would it have worked? Never. Have there been major sacrifices? Yes. Weak commitment never wins anything. So finally, it says in Nehemiah chapter 4, 6, they built the wall of Jerusalem in Nehemiah. And it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. They did finish it off. For the people worked with all their heart. If you want to build a life that's worth living, where you're walking in everything that Jesus wanted to give you, where you're moving in everything that God has for you, you've got to work at it with all your heart. No weak commitment. Okay, so those five things, we'll finish the other five off next week. And then that will take us up to the carol service. Okay? Find God's will. Okay? Poor people skills, negative attitude, lack of focus, weak commitment will not stay in this building or in your life. Amen? Stand with me right now. We're going to pray. And we're going to break any of these things. If you recognize any of them in your life, just say, right, God, I'm going to get delivered. You know, sometimes people say, I can't seem to move forward. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vineyard. We need to find out the little things that are stopping us from moving forward. And you know, I'm not talking about achieving massive world impacting things. It can be small things. Successful marriage, raising children, doing some kind of ministry for God, establishing a career. Whatever it is, you know, it can be little things. You know, we were talking about losing weight, you know. We didn't do a whole thing on that, but these are some things. Well, you know, for the new year, what are some of the things that we want to do? You can get to where you want to be. Stop smoking. Whatever it is, it can be a big thing, it can be a little thing, but whatever it is, I want to encourage you. If it's worth going for, go for it. If it will change your life and bless you and bless others, go for it. Don't live a mediocre life where, well, one day this or one day, you just sit and wait for it to happen. It won't happen. But you can work with God to make it happen. Amen? You can work with God. And that's my goal for each person and our goal in this church. So any of these things, if you recognize, you think, well, I'm not really flowing in God's will for my life. God, I want you to show me what you want me to do. If there's something else there, maybe you think, well, you know, maybe some poor people skills I've had in my life, I need to, I'm too outspoken or I'm this or that, but with God, with your help, I'm going to change that. I have a negative attitude. With God's help, I'm going to develop a more positive attitude as we go into the new year. You know, there's something I've been wanting to do for years, but I haven't focused on it. Therefore, I'm going to focus on that. And I've had a weak commitment to it, but now I'm really going to commit to that. So, Father, we just pray for each person, especially as we're getting ready to move into a new year, new year's new beginnings. And I just really pray, God, for each person here, that they would walk in the fullness, Jesus, of everything that you died to give them, that they'd know your peace, they'd know your joy, they'd know your destiny. Father, we pray for every marriage. Father, we pray that marriages will become successful and strong, that you'd help people in these areas. With the children, Father, just bless them. And every home that's represented, Father, right here now, we just pray people would move in everything, Jesus, that you died to give them in their walk with you, because the greatest goal we can have, a vision, is to know you. Help us above all to be successful at knowing you and walking in relationship with you. We want you to be our main focus, and we don't want to have a weak commitment towards you, but we just put you first, and we trust you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, it's coffee time. Amen. Please stay and have tea and coffee with us. And thanks again for being a blessing to us.